News Talk 790 WNIS. You know how they have those weird holidays? Sometimes you get it's National Ice Cream Day. It's National Music Day. I don't know who makes these up, but I'm not going to argue with them because tomorrow is National CBD Day. And there is no better guest to have than Dr. Denise Foster on the eve of National CBD Day. Why? Because she runs Hemp Haven in Moyock, North Carolina, just below the border, 726 Carrotoke Highway, 252-340-3557, hemphavenwellness.com, her website. She is open 7 days a week, Sunday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m., and then on Thursday through Saturday, she's open till 8 p.m. Hello, Dr. D. Welcome back to WNIS.
Well, happy pre-CBD Eve.
Thank you.
Right.
Been having a good summer?
It's been a crazy summer for us in Hemp Haven. So much is going on in the world of hemp and in the world of cannabis. And so our claim to fame is that we're now completely open. We are completely out of Virginia. Don't have to worry about going to jail anymore. And in North Carolina, things are starting to look way sunny in terms of cannabis land. So very busy. We're learning the tourist traffic down there. We're helping our Virginia customers navigate that as they seek us out from Virginia, because of course we've now been established and we're selling so many of these incredible products, including CBD.
I was wondering about that, because as you make the drive to the Outer Banks and you cross just below the border, you're in Moyock, you can see the building where you guys are, and you got a fairly big sign, Hemp Haven. I was wondering if you would get people that would just stop in, not having heard of you before.
Yeah, we do. And that helps, too, because, of course, as most of Hampton Roads know, the tourist traffic seems to go down the bypass.
Yes.
And
yes.
Wonderfully, Adams Outdoor Advertising has been my billboard partner for the last 3 years. And there's a big old billboard right after you come out of the toll booth that proclaims that we're open in Moyock. So that's been helping a lot, because people see that billboard and they stop in. They say, hey, I'm on my way to the Outer Banks. Let me pick up some fun stuff.
So for the rest of you that get off at Hillcrest like me and go around the toll, don't forget to stop at Hemp Haven. Once again, it's 726 Carrotoke Highway. It's just below the border. She used to be in Chesapeake, and if you went to the old location, the new one, it's really not that much further. It's another like 10 minutes down the road or something like that, but it's much bigger.
You've got a
lot more space. You've got more stuff going on. You have all your cannabis nurses there, so people can walk in if they want and get a consultation.
We do appointments online. You go to our website at hemphavenwellness.com. You can schedule your own free consultation with cannabis nurses. I've started the Cannabis Nurse Health Initiative, where my cannabis nurses can provide virtual consultations across the United States. And in September, just in a little less than a month, I'm going to be offering my fourth year, my eighth Cannabis 101 lecture series, which is, again, online, a wonderful six-week lecture series. It's available on Eventbrite. If you do Eventbrite and you do a search for Cannabis 101, it's a six-week lecture series. It's designed to help educate our healthcare practitioners, because guess what? This is coming. And my biggest question is, why are our healthcare practitioners, especially our nurses, who are now actually the newest subspecialty of nursing, cannabis nurses, that is, why are we not being educated? Why is this not being implemented into any of our healthcare curricula? So when we see these incredible movements, doing this for now over 12 years in my own professional climb, I guess, as a cannabis nurse, my professional movement toward legitimization, legalization, if you would, it's been a crazy ride. And I think we are now almost over the finish line. We still have a lot of work to do, but as our theme song says, it's not stopping. It's only going to get bigger. And our communities, 77% of our population in the United States has access to legal cannabis. That's a lot. That's a lot. And that's going to get even bigger. Let's start with some incredible news, especially for our Hampton Roads veteran population. So this is coming off of last month's Stars and Stripes publication that showed in July the federal house. So think Washington, D.C. The federal house in D.C. approved a budget bill that ended the restrictions on doctors from discussing medical marijuana with veterans. Well, let's fast forward to just a few days ago, August 1st, when the federal Senate in D.C. voted to allow VA doctors to make recommendations for medical marijuana to their military veterans. Wow. So this is an incredible movement that is going to allow all VA practitioners in states where it is legal, where medical marijuana is legal, to begin making medical marijuana recommendations for their VA patients. This is a huge shift in policy because it has been at the federal level where the whole prohibition movement continues to stop everything, and why states are doing their own thing. You and I, you know, we refer to this as the schizophrenic United States of cannabis because right. of that. Because states are doing their own thing, but yet at the federal level, it still remains Schedule One. So this is a major policy shift at the federal level because at the VA, the Veteran Administration is finally at least admitting that cannabis is medicine. And cannabis can definitely help their veterans in so many different ways. And so once this passes through the Senate, it's already passed through the Senate. It's now heading to President Trump's desk. And what the bill specifically says, it prohibits the use of funds to enforce Veterans Health Directive 1315, which currently forbids VA providers from completing any forms or making referrals for medical marijuana, even in the 40 states where it is legal. So it's not that they're giving explicit permission, they're just removing the prohibition,
yeah.
meaning that if the VA doctor practitioner wants to have this discussion, and we encourage all of our veterans to talk to their VA practitioner, because you're allowed to do that without risking your benefits. That is written into the VA regulations that all veterans should be talking to their practitioners about their medical marijuana or any cannabis use, really, because then that becomes part of their plan of treatment. So if the federal government... If President Trump signs this into law, that is almost a guarantee that Schedule 3, which is where we are right now, we're trying to move marijuana, cannabis, from Schedule 1, where it currently sits as a prohibited substance, onto a Schedule 3, where it is going to be allowed to be prescribed, then it will be regulated, then it will fall under the purview of maybe even potentially reimbursement policies from insurance companies like Veteran Care under the VA. What's also interesting is that they also want to show that these are part of the alternative treatments that should be available to veterans to provide access to these programs that will help them with medical marijuana transitioning and also to help them reduce their opioid use.
Mm. Yes.
We don't have that problem, do we?
Right.
So this is a huge... a policy shift that will more than likely be signed by President Trump. Who knows when? It could be, you know, sooner than later or later than sooner. But the inclination is that we do know that President Trump has gone on record before in support of medical marijuana. We talked earlier this year about how he helped instigate the release of a Russian prisoner, an American who was in Russia, who had accidentally brought in some medical marijuana and was thrown in jail. And then President Trump helped to negotiate his release earlier this year. So yeah. He's a proponent of it. And there has been nothing to indicate that he is interested in standing in the way, like some local politicians, should
yes,
we say.
Like some so, people we could name. Yes.
I think that things are going to be looking up for the veteran population, especially those who are seeking out alternative treatments and getting away from the harmful prescription drugs, especially opioids.
And we've talked about it before, probably the biggest community of people that come into your store, you serve a lot of veterans
veterans.
At Hemphaven. I guess the stereotype of marijuana usage or cannabis usage or even CBD usage, because once again, for anybody who's new to this kind of stuff, you live in the realm of hemp, which is, you know, a little bit different than, you know, medical marijuana or something of that nature. But my point is, I guess the stereotype would be it'd be younger people or you know, slackers or whatever the stereotype
Stoners.
Of a stoner is.
Stoner man.
But
yeah.
No, it's veterans.
Veterans. This harkens back. I know that you and I, we broadcast a podcast together, our podcast, Cannabis Nurse Truths. And one of them was how cannabis is so helpful for veterans. And it was over a decade ago. I think it was 2 decades ago that Dr. Sue Sicily received a grant from the VA to study how cannabis can be effective for veterans in treating their PTSD, their pain, their depression, their anxiety. And over a 10-year study, Dr. Sicily found that it helps in every measure. It helps. And unfortunately, because Dr. Sicily was able to show that it had some efficacy, her grant got shut down, right? We can't have that. So we have a long-standing under body of evidence that indicates that, first of all, safe. We're not worried about you overdosing. The fatal dose of THC, which is the only compound that it impairs, is a 250,000 milligram per day dose.
Yeah.
250,000 milligrams of THC means you're going to be smoking 3,000 joints. You're going to be eating over 1,500 brownies per day. So the
safety. You told me one time the joint would have to be the size of a telephone pole.
Yeah. Yes. So the safety in every measure is, again, looking at the veteran and the way that they treat things like pain and PTSD and how we can help them prevent suicide and all of the things that go along with the safety parameters. You cannot beat the cannabis profile for that.
What else is happening? So we talk with Dr. Denise Foster from Hemphaven, hemphavenwellness.com. What else is in the news?
Well, as a nurse, I am always so interested in the science and the health because nurses, we are in your community, and we see how unhealthy our community and our healthcare system, I should also say, has become.
Yeah.
The data coming out and the evidence and the research coming out regarding marijuana, regarding cannabis, and I have to remind people that it's not so much the cannabis plant, because the cannabis plant can either be a marijuana plant, which is high in the THC concentrations, or a hemp plant, which is high in the CBD concentrations. But both plants carry the same types of concentrations of compounds. And so when we're looking at these studies, we're looking specifically at the compounds that are doing the incredible work in the body. This one came out just a few days ago. Medical marijuana provides relief from migraine headaches, with the study showing that the THC-CBD combination has the most robust benefits. And they showed in this particular study that individuals who used either a THC or a THC with CBD combination sustained relief after only 2 hours that maintained after 48 hours, saying that it basically not only affected the pain associated with migraines, which are very difficult to treat, you have to throw a lot of drugs at them, including pain medicine with the migraine headaches. When they looked at the other symptoms associated with migraines, that would be photophobia, this is the light sensitivity, and phonophobia, this is the sound sensitivity. This is why people with migraines, they like to hang in a dark room.
Yes.
This the THC-CBD combination treated it up to 48 hours in additional to the pain. So this is where we're seeing these incredible benefits in the neurological symptoms. We also found in a neurological setting, this was published as a preprint in the National Library of Medicine, in which a group of researchers found that cannabis usage and healthy aging, they wanted to look at individuals that were using, over a certain age, over the age of 60, were using cannabis in the United Kingdom. So they looked at, they examined, I should say, they didn't survey, they looked at and examined the medical records of 25,000 participants using many cognitive parameters. They were measuring things like memory. They were measuring things like decision-making and just thought processes, which seem to have, we think about dementia, right? The older we're getting, the more likely that we're going to develop dementia. In this study, cannabis users exhibited superior performance across multiple cognitive domains. And interestingly, the effects of cannabis and cognition are presented concurrently across a range of brain symptoms. This is where cannabis science is moving. There's a thought process right now that cannabis reverses aging, and specifically reverses aging in the brain. And in this particular study, they found that the cannabis users displayed that were typically brain characteristics that were typically associated with younger brains, along with enhanced cognitive abilities, meaning that there's something going on when you use medical marijuana In this case, it was medical marijuana that includes the THC, but now we're talking about how it can affect things in the brain that will reduce and reverse the aging associated with thought.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Right? This all goes back to, you know, our discovery, right, 2003, that the United States government owns the patent on cannabis as a medicine.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you this, owned by the United States Department of Health and Human Services. And why did they patent the cannabinoids? Cannabinoids like CBD, THC, 150 more in the plant. But they patent these cannabinoids as antioxidants and neuroprotectants. Now, the research is following that trail, and we are now figuring out how these effects work. And in this particular science, the neurocognitive science, you're reversing your aging in the brain. It's amazing that this is information that is, it's not stopping. It's going to continue to come out. Here's another one. Now we're talking inflammatory bowel disease. Marijuana and CBD provide significant symptom relief for inflammatory bowel disease patients. And they had the IBD, the inflammatory bowel disease patients, and this is from a National Institute of Health study that was sponsored by Case Western Reserve University. They found in the IBD patients, almost 20% of them were able to decrease their opioid use, while almost 15% of them went into remission with their IBD, just using the THC-CBD combinations. This is on one side. On the other side of a GI condition, marijuana is one of the best-rated drugs for eating disorder symptoms. So think of those individuals that have eating disorders, and when we gave them small doses of the THC with CBD, it basically rated highly in terms of not only reducing their eating disorder symptoms, but overall improvements in their mental health. What do we know with eating disorders? They're typically associated with
mental
health conditions,
and one's, I guess, lack of self-worth.
Absolutely.
Or something of that nature.
So yeah. Giving these individuals small amounts of these medical marijuana products helped to not only improve their IBD symptoms, but also improve their mental health well-being. And the other drugs that they tested this against included, let me read off my list here, caffeine, my favorite drug, alcohol, nicotine, prescription psychedelics, ketamine, MDMA, stimulants, opioids, and mostly those were the ones that were tested against this marijuana that came out as one of the highest rated. They found that of all of those substances in relation to treating eating disorders, alcohol, nicotine, and tobacco were rated as the most harmful drugs, but yet 100% legal and available at every convenience store near you.
Yes, that's right.
Right? This, again, continues to provide information about why the prescription, pharmaceutical, healthcare, alcohol, tobacco industry, they don't want us around. I'm talking marijuana. They don't want cannabis around. Here's another study.
Cutting into their bottom line.
That's exactly right. Because here's another study that was just published from Harvard University, and they found that opening legal marijuana dispensaries is correlated to a huge drop in opioid-related deaths. Hello? What is the number one thing that cannabis is used for? Pain management, pain relief. So these researchers at Harvard University found that there was a drop. There were 30% fewer opioid-related deaths over 10 years in states that had legalized marijuana, either for recreational adult use or for medical use. Here's a quote. It's arguably safer than alcohol because if the dispensary down the street can get people off opioids, public health wins. Because now we're stopping them, the potential users of alcohol or tobacco or opioids, they might be switching to cannabis to begin with. And we're going to have a little teaser because there's a study out about the gateway drug theory. right?
Oh, yes.
Because what do the prohibitionists love to argue?
For years, we've heard that.
Gateway drug.
That it's the gateway drug.
Yep. Access to the children. Let's protect the children. So all of these things tie into, again, a new study that shows that medical marijuana reduces anxiety and depression. And this is a sustained effect that begins just 3 months into use with sustained reductions over months. This was a study that came out in July from Johns Hopkins University, and it was published in support with the National Institute on Drug Abuse. You can't stop this. The health and benefits are showing overwhelmingly how safe and appropriate these compounds are as individuals look to replace, substitute, or completely avoid all of these other harmful drugs.
She's Dr. Denise Foster from Hemp Haven Wellness, 726 Carrotoke Highway in Moyock, North Carolina, right below the border. 252-340-3557, her number. And check out the website, hemphavenwellness.com. We got more with Dr. D straight ahead on News Talk 790 WNIS. R.I.P. Prince of Darkness. News Talk 790 WNIS. I'm Lee Foster, and Dr. Denise Foster is here. No relation. She's from Hemp Haven, just below the border in beautiful Moyock, North Carolina. Beautiful up-and-coming Moyock, North Carolina, because every time I drive through there, there's about 17 more buildings than the previous time. 726 Carrotoke Highway, hemphavenwellness.com, 252-340-3557, her phone number. Again, she is open 7 days a week. Go see her. Pop in. Sunday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. And then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, that's 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. And if you have any questions for us, we are live, 757-627-7979. Now, we teased before the break the old theory that marijuana is a gateway drug. And we've heard this for years from the prohibitionists, and as it turns out, that that may not be the case.
No. Well, not in the way that they might think as a gateway drug. We have more research on that as well. But this is where the prohibitionists are using the same tropes that they've used for the last 80 years of prohibition. It was last weekend that we, I guess, celebrated, but not in a positive way. We celebrated 88 years of prohibition of cannabis. Right. Imagine 88 years going by without you drinking your beer or using your whiskey or your wine. This is where the prohibitionists are not going to be able to keep up with these numbers. So this was a study that was just done in Japan. Think of Japan's culture. Think Japan is much more rigid and obviously very proper, and we don't see the litter. We see healthier food, et cetera. So the Japanese are on point when it comes to their marijuana and their medical marijuana. So this was a study that was done in Japan, and they looked at the cannabis use in Japan to see if those using cannabis in Japan, where you can use it if it is prescribed by a doctor, they wanted to see if these individuals who do have medical care using marijuana are now moving into other drugs. And the answer is no. This was a study published in the journal Neuropsychopharmacology Reports, and it was described as one of the largest and most significant studies on community-based cannabis users to date. So nearly half of the respondents who reported marijuana as their drug did not go on to use any other substances. And in fact, this means that the progression to other substance use, including alcohol and tobacco, is stopped. Think of that for a moment. When you go to marijuana, as the veterans we just discussed about go to for its use, potentially as an opioid supplement or replacement, as an anxiety, as a depression, as any replacement, really, for any of the pharmaceutical drugs, including those that you can get legally now, like alcohol and tobacco, there is a correlation that is going to show that there has been a lot of money involved in maintaining prohibition of cannabis. because all of the prohibition arguments, like gateway drug, are falling short. None of these individuals, and this was a population that they looked at of almost 4,000 individuals, none of them went on to use any other gateway drug substances, like even including alcohol and tobacco. This mirrored a study in the United States because last year a study was published that found legalization of adult use marijuana in the United States did not contribute to substantial increases in Schedule II stimulants. So this would be another correlation to where we look at how the safety parameters, how harm reduction needs to play a role. We don't want you moving on to more harmful drugs. That would kind of defeat the purpose of cannabis as medicine. We want you to heal your body, not use other things that are harmful to it. Ironically enough, just published today in another survey of United States cannabis users, this was something that was not surprising. They did find that marijuana is a gateway drug to growing tomatoes.
Okay.
They polled some cannabis home cultivators, over 1,300 cannabis home cultivators, because like in Virginia, you're allowed to home cultivate your own cannabis. You can have,
up to four
plants, right? Make sure you identify them with your driver's license information and your birth date and your address, et cetera. But in this survey, they found that 66% of those who grew cannabis at home on their own started growing tomatoes and started their own backyard gardens because they did so well at growing cannabis. So gateway drug to becoming a garden aficionado.
Yeah. The gardening became their hobby. So it's not, it is a gateway drug, but not to more harmful substances.
Not at all.
It's a gateway to healthier substances.
Absolutely. A gateway to healthier substances. And this is why we're back to following the money trail, following the real green. And again, now the second quarter of 2025 report is out on lobbying in Congress. And here's where I'm going to, you know, put some people under the microscope, because they looked at lobbying activities, which have to be made public. When you lobby and you provide funding to your favorite politician, like you would, you know, your favorite NASCAR driver, they found between April and June of 2025, most of the lobbying activities from pharmaceutical, alcohol, and food companies lobbied Congress on cannabis banking reform and rescheduling legislation. And the names on here should not surprise you. For instance, alcohol companies, Wine and Spirits Wholesalers of America, they're lobbying Congress because why? They want intoxicating hemp and cannabis policy issues updated. Why? We're going to talk about how the alcohol industry is now moving into the hemp industry. Same thing with Anheuser-Busch. They wanted lobbying to differentiate beer from cannabis and hemp in relation to tax regulations. What's going on? We know what's going on there. For instance, hemp and cannabis, you're not allowed to take tax deductions because it's a federal issue. Not so much hemp anymore, but definitely cannabis, because you can't have a bank account in cannabis land. So Anheuser-Busch is about to get into the hemp space where they are going to be banking, and they want to know what their risks are. And so they want their politician to begin addressing that. Same thing with the National Beer Wholesalers Association. They are also looking at legal banking and regulating cannabis products. Pharmaceutical companies, Jazz Pharmaceuticals, a large pharmaceutical, I should say, international pharmaceutical corporation, they are looking at how the FDA can regulate CBD issues in research. Now, Jazz Pharmaceuticals, if you don't know some of the products they make a lot of pharmaceuticals that may be familiar in the healthcare setting, but on the cannabis side, Jazz Pharmaceuticals already manufactures synthetic CBD. It's called Epidiolex. And Epidiolex, a synthetic CBD, was approved by the FDA in 2018 for the treatment of children over 1 year of age with uncontrollable seizure disorders. So Jazz Pharmaceuticals is lobbying their politicians. And then finally, we've got financial institutions. PayPal, the National Association of State Treasurers, Credit Union National Association, even the National Association of Mutual Insurance Companies, because what's about to happen is that if they make Schedule 3 occur, where now, for instance, the VA doctors can recommend and write forms for medical marijuana as a Schedule 3, that means the VA is going to be paying for it, opening the door to reimbursements to other forms of insurance.
Makes sense.
This is something that Canada already has. Others on board who are lobbying in this quarter regarding cannabis legislation are the American Academy of Addiction Psychiatry, the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, and the Epilepsy Foundation.
Oh, okay.
Where they want to support rescheduling and safe and legal access to cannabis, because we have a lot of research that shows that cannabis treats seizure disorders. Hemp itself, CBD, hence, and Epidiolex treats seizure disorders. So this is an entirely new shift into high gear, especially in terms of alcohol. You and I have talked at length, and we even did a podcast about it a year ago, that we talked that cannabis is bad for beer sales.
Right. Yeah.
Alcohol industry has now moved into the hemp-derived cannabis space. In our dispensary in Moyoc, I'm now selling over 100 varieties of cannabis drinks, all hemp-derived, and all 100% legal. And those are what's replacing and substituting for alcohol, which is why the alcohol industry lost 44% revenues last year.
And what the alcohol industry is going to have to figure out is, when you drink any of those drinks, those 100 drinks in your store, you don't wake up with a hangover the next morning like you do if you drink a beer. And so they're going to have to figure out, how do we overcome that? Because you guys have a better product.
That's right.
And so now they're trying to develop their own.
That's right.
Their own product.
That's right. We have a few in Virginia that are doing that, but we have a ton in North Carolina. I'm going to get to that in a minute, because North Carolina, I'm going to shock you, North Carolina has become the most cannabis-friendly state in the United States. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But I wanted to first tie in this alcohol. AB InBev is the parent company for Anheuser-Busch. Think Busch Gardens, think Williamsburg, right?
Yes.
Think all of these Anheuser-Busch products. A&B Bev has now moved into the cannabis-infused beverage sector. This means that AB InBev, Anheuser-Busch, is about to either bring in a hemp cannabis drink that's already out there and just looking for a home, or they're going to begin developing their own using hemp THC extractions, which are 100% legal under the Farm Bill. What's interesting about, remember I said just a minute ago that the alcohol industry lost 44% of their revenue last year. A&B and Bev reported that while they lost on the alcohol side last year, the no alcohol beer portfolio outperformed globally. The non-alcohol beverage industry under the AB InBev house increased revenues by 34%. And they said that most of that was led by a triple-digit growth on one of their offerings called Corona Cero, which is a non-alcoholic beer. This ties in to the fact that the younger generation, call them millennials, call them Generation XYZ or whatever you want, they are turning away from alcohol. They saw their parents, their grandparents drink, you know, just like I'm a Gen Xer. I saw my parents and grandparents drink.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're moving away from that model, and the beer industry is checking in on that.
Guarantee you there's a marketing meeting somewhere at Anheuser-Busch Corporation where they're trying to think of a marketing strategy for this already. Something with Bud in it, perhaps.
Bud. Bud's for you.
Yes.
Great idea.
This can of Bud's for you. I guarantee you. That's what they're working on.
Great idea. This on the market side, right, on the retail side, this is where we are seeing such an explosion in products. I will definitely be running out of space in both my coolers and my shelves by the end of this year. And I'm happily taking applications now for more cannabis staff, part of our CannaFam. We are just outgrowing the demand. The demand is increasing, because both on the medical side and, of course, now people who are looking for safer, healthier alternatives like non-alcoholic drinks, they're looking for this. And I always love to kind of poke the bear here, because a study that was just released that showed, this is from an annual Shift Pulse report from the Workforce Management Platform Deputy. Every year they do a nationwide survey, and they look for what are the happiest and unhappiest sectors in the industries across the United States. Guess who is the happiest sector in the United States right now is employment. Why, that would be the cannabis industry workers. Yes. Cannabis industry workers were rated at the top of the list of the happiest employees across multiple sectors, with more than 9 in 10 reporting a positive sentiment in their job. Cannabis workers love to come to work. Because most everyone that I've met in the last few years that has the right frame of mind loves to help people.
And it's an up-and-coming industry.
Absolutely.
That's always fun.
There's room. There's so many things that you could do. It's a big tent, and if you want to grow tomatoes, grow cannabis. If you want to dispense the bud, if you want to create the bud product itself or test it or whatever, deliver it, whatever. What's interesting about this report is that they looked to find, you know, what were the worst ones. The next closest was the 91% in catering, down to 83% in childcare. But what were the most unhappiest workers? Why, the number one sectors of workers in the United States were the pharmaceutical industry, tied with the postal service.
Ah, okay. All right.
Those two were tied.
I was thinking radio salespeople maybe would make the list. They didn't make it this year?
No, not this year. The number two slot fell again as a tie. Animal health. Think veterinarian offices. So animal health was the unhappiest sector, tied with doctor's offices.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you were a nurse for, 35 years, and there was a reason you made your exit.
That's right. Yes. And then finally, number three came in as another healthcare sector, the outpatient care centers. Mm. Those are the unhappiest sectors. But by far, 9 out of 10 are saying that cannabis, and this is despite the negative challenges in working in cannabis. Think of the schizophrenia still going on. For instance, in Virginia, I was robbed twice. So there's criminal elements still involved. Changes in legalization, right? Changes in Virginia laws made me a criminal. They wanted to put me in jail, and I had to flee the state with my business. Unfair banking practices, right? We get kicked out at a moment's notice. So this is interesting. And this is why we are going to see incredible moves by states. I believe Virginia will eventually come on board next year. After some kicking and screaming in the last 4 years of the administration, just this past month, Delaware was the newest that provided adult legal sales, and they launched their first weekend in the beginning of this month, August 1st. Well, their first weekend of legal adult cannabis sales in little old Delaware amounted to almost $1 million. In 2 days across little old Delaware. And that's including, I have to think about the states surrounding it. We got New Jersey, we got New York, we got Pennsylvania where there's medical, and we got Maryland where there's medical and recreational. And so if you think that it would be more like Virginians crossing into D.C. or Maryland to get their stuff, that's not happening. They showed not only could they pull off $1 million in their first weekend of sales, they demonstrated 100% compliance with the regulations, including ID checks. So cannabis works. And this is why North Carolina, where I had the luck of falling into because of how we were treated in Virginia, North Carolina has become the most cannabis-friendly state in the United States. And why is that?
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, Governor Josh Stein announced that it's time for North Carolina to legalize THC. He announced that there has become no difference. There's no differentiation between marijuana and hemp, and that THC can come from both. And with that understanding, he has assembled a North Carolina Advisory Council on Cannabis, and the access and regulation is where he wants to aim at public safety, making it inaccessible to children, and regulating it and distributing it like, wait for it, alcohol.
Yeah.
This has meant that Governor Stein has made that North Carolina an open door as we begin to develop regulations that will both encompass cannabis marijuana type and cannabis hemp type. But in the difference, it's all going to be around regulating on education, lab testing, safety, childproofing, et cetera, and then making sure that, and he said the money quote here is that anyone 21 and older should be allowed to access a legal product. That's what's coming to North Carolina.
A legal product, and it's the right of the individual to make that choice for themselves.
Right.
Do they want to partake? Do they not?
And keeping it out of the kids. And again, here's another prohibitionist argument. They're always saying that, oh, it's for the children. Well, here is a federal study that was just released about a week ago. And this was a federal study supported by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And this is taken from every year's National Survey on Drug Use and Health that looks at Americans age 12 and older about drug use, mental health, and related treatment. And what they found is in the past year, between 23 and 24, use among people ages 12 to 20 fell to a four-year low in 2024, even as a growing number of states enacted laws to legalize marijuana. We have 24 states that have legalized medical marijuana, and we have, I'm sorry, flip that. We have 40 states.
40 states have some form of it.
That legalized medical marijuana. Right. And 24 states that have recreational.
Right.
They throw Virginia in there, even though they ignored the law. But in all of those states, they have shown that youth access and use has declined. Why? Because more than likely, these children are getting age-gated. When you walk into Hemp Haven, I'm sorry, you're going to be needing to show your ID.
Right.
Right. And if you do not have a current valid government-issued ID, we don't take it on the phone. You have to show it to us in physical person. If you can't show us that, we are not going to sell you a product. That's just safety number one.
Yeah.
Number one. So the prohibitionist model is falling away. The last thing I wanted to report on is especially how does this tie into the real estate market? Real estate market is in a tizzy right now itself.
Yeah.
Well, here's some food for thought. Houses in legal marijuana states are worth more and grow in value faster than those where there are not legal. In fact, you know, the findings of this show that an average house in a state with adult use marijuana was worth $447,000 versus $320,000 in states where it was not available. That meant that it was about 39% more valuable on average in states where it was legal. And as they did a retrospective study, they further dug into the data. They predicted that if states legalized sooner, states like Ohio, Minnesota, and Delaware that we just talked about, they could have seen an average of a $96,000 increase in their price when they sold their house. Mm. So think of the housing crisis. Think of the real estate crisis going on right now. And if you live in a medical marijuana state or a recreational marijuana state, chances are your house is way more valuable. So make sure you're talking about with your real estate agent.
All I'm saying is it seems like the housing value in Moyock has gone up since Hemp Haven moved in. That's all I'm saying.
That could be true. There's no correlation there, but I'd like to think there would be. Yeah, Moyock is growing, and we love the reception that we have received from our community. We're there to serve our community in many ways, and we love the fact that we are helping people achieve a healthier lifestyle.
Well, since tomorrow is National CBD Day, I am filling in on the morning show for the Emperor Tony McCreaney. You will be joining me at 7:30. So if anybody likes what we've been talking about this hour, Dr. D will be with us once again coming up at 7:30 tomorrow morning on News Talk 790 WNIS. And, of course, she does her expert shows monthly here on WNIS. You can check out the podcast, which we're going to resume taping new episodes of that coming up next month. But we still got, we've got what, 60 of them, I think, or something 60. Like that. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't listened to the podcast yet, plenty of material for you to check out. That would be at CannabisNurseTruths.com. And then Hemp Haven, go see her. She's open 7 days a week, Sunday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m., Thursday through Saturday, 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. She's at 726 Carrituck Highway. HempHavenWellness.com is the website. 252-340-3557 is the phone number. Dr. D, always good to see you.
Thank you, everybody. Be well. Come see us.
It is News Talk 790 WNIS.
The preceding program is sponsored and paid for by Hemp Haven, who's entirely responsible for its content. I know.